Hello and welcome to another episode of the Swordfish Survival Podcast. This is your boy Swordfish. Today's topic will be why I chose the preparedness lifestyle and how you can do the same. First of all, the title says everything. This is a lifestyle. This isn't just something you do on a whim that you wake up one morning and like, I want to go bug out somewhere. I want to build an inch bag. I'm never coming home. This is a lifestyle. This is a mindset that leads to gear acquisition, that leads to preparation, that leads to training, that leads to one day the need for survival. This isn't just a, like I said, on a whim. This is something that is practiced day in and day out. This is something that happens with time and with preparation and with practice. This isn't something that you just do for fun. This is something that should be taken very serious and should have a very motivating factor behind it. This is something that has a serious gravity to it. The preparedness lifestyle is not a movement. It is not just a moment in time. This is a life of preparedness and one worth living and living well. I'd rather be prepared for a scenario than have a scenario happen and not be ready. I'd rather be ready for that storm to wipe out power, to wipe out my way of living and be ready for that situation than have it happen and not be ready, not be prepared. A lot of people like to think of this as the people who think the government reads their thoughts or is coming to take away everything they own or things of that nature. And that's not what prepping is about. That's not what the survival lifestyle is about. Several things take place in this mindset, in this lifestyle that I'm going to go through today and give you a full example of an scenario that I have prepared for and how I've prepared for it. So if you take notes, you want to jot a few ideas down, feel free to do so. So the first topic I want to talk about is things to know before you go to build that proverbial bug out bag or that everyday carry bag. Everybody resorts to buying the bag first before they even build a skill set, before they learn how to make fire without matches or a lighter. Everybody goes for that bag before they learn how to clean water, how to boil water, how to use iodine tablets. They go to build the bag, the biggest bag they can possibly get their hands on, and then they want to put a double-wide trailer in that bag. So let's learn why we build a bag. Let's learn what goes into a bag before we choose the bag, so to speak. What situation are you preparing for? Is it a natural disaster? Is it domestic terrorism? What about a government coup? Civil unrest, civil disorder, societal breakdown. These are just mere examples of what could possibly happen in our lifetime, that could possibly happen in our backyard. We've read about what recently happened at the border. There was 9 family members that got caught in the crossfire of the drug cartels in Mexico, and they lost their life for simply existing. They were in the wrong place at the wrong time, and they were killed. I'm not saying that's going to happen every day. I'm not saying that's going to happen tomorrow. But if this family was somewhat armed or somewhat had the ability to escape and evade that situation, they may have been able to survive that situation. But let's think about some things that could happen to us and how we should prepare for those. I'm going to give you the example of a natural disaster. But there are so many different types of natural disasters. We've got snowstorms, we've got floods, we've got tornadoes. If you live on the West Coast, you got to worry about earthquakes. You got to worry about wildfires. If you live in the Gulf, you got to worry about hurricanes. Up north, you got to worry about blizzards. You've got to worry about several other things depending upon where you live. So as you begin this preparedness journey, as you begin this preparedness lifestyle, prepare for the situations that can happen around you. Just like the people who live in Flint, Michigan did not know that their water was contaminated until that was exposed. And then even to this day, they're still dealing with this situation. Clean water at one time was very scarce. So those who had the ability to clean water, to acquire water to clean and to boil and to use it for sanitation and for hydration purposes, That was a lesson learned. And those of us in the preparedness lifestyle and the survival mindset, we know these things. We train on these skills day in and day out, or week in and weekend out, however the how often your training may be. But the point is, you should train for a survival situation. If you're not training for survival, you're training to fail. So I'm going to give you the example. I chose natural disaster. Let's start with a major snowstorm. Actually, the first one I remember was back in 1993. I was a mere child, and I remember it snowed almost 35 to 40 inches where I lived. And with that much snow in a very short amount of time, we had to hunker down. We had to bite the bullet and not try to get out and go anywhere. So that gives us our scenario. We're snowed in. No doubt the power is going to be out. We're going to have the bug in. The first thing we're going to want to do is to stay warm. We want to make sure we have enough food in the house, water in the house, things to keep us occupied, to keep us sane, to keep us safe. So what type of gear would one need in this type of situation? Obviously, if you want to stay warm, you're going to have a heat source. One of those would be a simple blanket to keep wrap around you, keep you warm. If you have the ability to make fire in your house, maybe you have an oil stove or a kerosene stove, or if you have natural gas logs, that will provide you some heat and light and warmth for a period of time. But you may run out of propane gas. You may run out of heating oil. So have items on hand to keep you warm that don't require energy. You can keep warm with a blanket for days on end. Next, you got to eat. You got to stay hydrated. You got to stay have calories going into your body. You got to have food. And I recommend non-perishable food items in vacuum sealed cans, canned fruits, canned vegetables, canned meats. You want to keep your carb sources clean and quick. Something that doesn't require heat to process the food. Something you can just pop the top on and just eat and get quick calories for energy to keep you alive, to keep you safe, to keep you warm. And if you don't have the pop tops, be sure to keep a can opener with you. That way you can open these items and feed you and those around you that may be with you when the time comes. Also, be sure to keep cases of water on hand. If you don't know what water storage solution you may not even have, a case of water will go a long way. This case of water can provide you hydration. It can provide you sanitation and can provide a number of things to keep you safe, to keep you hydrated, to keep you alive. Another thing that I keep on hand is baby wipes. They can clean a wound if you get injured. They can keep you sanitary. And having that on hand can be a morale booster. Keeping warm, keeping clean, keeping safe, keeping your belly full until a situation comes back to normal can boost your morale, give you natural energy to want to survive. I understand survival situations aren't pleasant. And it's not something that we desire every day. We desire the comfort zone. We desire, you know, the ability to come home to a warm or cool house, depending on the environment, a roof over our head, clothes on our back, food in our stomach. We desire those things. And then when the situation changes, the environment changes out of the norm and we're not ready for it, that's when chaos can happen. So let's move on. Next would be have some candles. A source of light and heat. Little tea candles can provide a good amount of light in a dark room and can provide some form of heat. It's not going to be a lot of heat. You're not going to burn up. You're not going to experience a heat wave with tea light candles, but they will bring some effort of warmth to the situation. And if you want to take things a little more in depth, you can keep a walkie-talkie set. Or go to the extent of a ham radio operation that is battery powered. I mean, if you want to try to transmit out in an emergency situation, it is not illegal to transmit without a ham license during a true emergency situation. Otherwise, it is required to have a ham radio license to transmit. One typically found radio would be the Baofeng UV-5R that is easily found on Amazon or eBay for $30 to $40. And you can listen to emergency services if you find the right frequencies to find out what's going on around you. to learn the extent of damages that's caused your power outages, that's caused you to have to hunker down and bug in, so to speak. You can find all of these things out just by listening to emergency services. You can listen to the weather to see what's coming in the next days and 3 to 5 days ahead, whether it's more snow or if the weather's going to break and it's going to warm up and allow utility services to establish those services back to you at your location. Another good thing to have on hand is a basic first aid kit, Band-Aids, Neosporin, Bacitracin, things to clean a wound, to keep a wound uninfected, and basic meds that you may take on a daily basis. But if you don't have a prescription for those for whatever reason, keep some stored back in your first aid kit. Keep some Tylenol. Keep some naproxen sodium. People know that as Aleve. Keep some Advil, ibuprofen, basic pain relief meds. Keep, if you end up getting sick, keep some decongestant meds in your first aid kit. If you experience diarrhea, keep some anti-diarrheal medication. Or stomach issues, keep some portable Pepto in your first aid kit. A lot of these things you learn by experience, but you learn from other people that have been in this lifestyle and this mindset for much longer than you. And don't be a YouTube survivalist. Get out and train your skills. Get out and once you learn something, acquire the skill. Watch something and then go try it for yourself. What works for Jane Doe may not work for John Doe. So let's say we've learned all these things, we gathered all these items, and we want to take things to the next level. Maybe you want to heat up that can of soup. Maybe you want to heat up that water and make some portable coffee or hot tea to boost your morale. Maybe you want to experience heat a little more than a tea light candle. So I recommend a little portable butane stove with canisters of butane you can catch at Walmart. The little butane stove screws on top of the canister and you light it with a lighter or a match. And that gives you several minutes, if not maybe up to an hour's worth of cooking heat, room warming heat, light if needs be. The primary source of this is to heat up food or to boil water. In addition to that, you may want to acquire a stainless steel cooking set to have a container to boil the water to heat your soup up to put on that butane stove. I've gathered all of these items that we've spoken of today and others into what's called a blackout kit. That means when I know once the power goes out, I can go into action. I know where my blackout kit is. I know exactly what's in my blackout kit. I've got a blanket for each child. I've got goodies to keep the kids occupied, card games. I've got snacks that are up to date. I've got canned food. I've got bottles of water. I do have a butane stove in there with two canisters of butane. That way I can heat up the soup. I can heat up water for hot chocolate. I can heat up water for tea or coffee to boost the morale in a situation that it can be unpleasant if experienced for more than 2 to 3 days. If you want to take this even further, if you want to have light, if you want to have heat, you can go to the extent of having portable solar panels and batteries that can be charged through the solar technology to keep necessities charged, like cell phones or tablets or other types of electronic devices, to keep communications active and keep the kids happy. Kids don't understand survival situations. They just know that their normal situation is messed up and they don't like it. So it's up to us to be ready for these situations and to have things to occupy time. That's one of the number one things in a survival situation. If you may have all the food in the world, you may have clean water, you may have the sanitation, but if your time is not occupied, your mind is not occupied, and then if all you have to do is idle thoughts, that can cause you to think irrationally or irregularly and make that situation even more unpleasant than what it once was. So I recommend building a blackout kit. So you may ask, Swordfish, what goes in a blackout kit? If it's a winter environment, you definitely want to have one blanket per person. You can get these blankets at Walmart. You can get them at Kmart. You can get them at any Hobby Lobby. You can get them at any store for a few bucks per blanket. You want to have one type of cup with a lid per person. This will allow them to have a container to take in fluids, take in food, and allow you to ration your food out in that survival situation. You also want to have a flashlight for each person and batteries for that. This can be substituted with glow sticks to provide an essence of light in a true dark scenario. Maybe you have to go outside and crank the generator. You got to have light to do that. Maybe you got to go downstairs and get another can of food to heat up. You got to have light to do that to see where you're going so you don't fall and injure yourself. You may ask, Swordfish, how much food is enough? I mean, I don't want to have too little food, but how much is enough? I would say in a true survival situation, if you don't know how long the environment is going to take, have between 500 to 800 calories per person per day. This sounds not like a lot, but that will be enough to sustain you in a 48 to 72 hour scenario. Obviously, more calories is going to keep you happier. Your stomach is going to be a little more full. You won't have that grumble going on. But 500 calories can keep you alive. There has been scenarios where people have survived up to 3 weeks without food, 3 days without water, 3 minutes without air. We've all heard of the proverbial terminology. But you can survive. You may not be happy. You may not be pleasant. You may be hangry, if you will. But you will survive. But make sure this food that you choose to collect and to acquire and to keep on a shelf or to keep in a blackout kit, make sure it has a minimum of a 1 year shelf life. And you want to rotate this out every 6 months. You want to consume this food so it doesn't go to waste and you don't lose your money. But you do want to rotate this out and put fresh food in every 6 months. Make sure if you've got granola bars, if you've got soup, I'm not too worried about the soup as much because it's vacuum sealed. But if you keep like granola bars or some types of vacuum sealed cookies, over time, these will expire. They will go to waste. And you may not want to put them in a Ziploc bag to extend that life just a little bit. But one of the most important things to have in your kit is one of two things, a way to acquire and clean water or a way to have that water in your kit. As much water as will fit in there to leave other room for other items, obviously, but you don't want just a case of water and nothing else. That water will be able to clean you, to hydrate you, to keep you active and aware of the situation that you're in. You may want to have some iodine tablets if you need to melt snow to clean that, or if there's runoff off the side of your house, or if there's runoff off the side of your car. You can use iodine tablets and water filters as sources to clean the water before you take it in to keep you from getting sick. And there's so many other things out there that we can learn and we can acquire skills and we can build a mindset and turn this into a lifestyle, because that's what it is at the end of the day. This is not just something that we, like, again, I keep going back to that mindset of saying, hey, I'm going to wake up and be a prepper, or I'm going to just become a prepper. Something triggers that in your mind and in your soul to say, hey, shit's getting real and I need to be ready. So let's get ready. Swordfish signing off.